Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The perjury trial of Roger Clemens was expected to last a minimum of several weeks. Instead, it ended on Thursday, practically before the jury could get comfortable, when Judge Reggie B. Walton declared a mistrial. The decision was based on the prosecution's introduction of material the judge had ruled inadmissible because it was potentially prejudicial. Of Roger Clemens, Judge Walton said he's entitled to a fair trial. He now cannot get it. Joining me now is Shira Springer of the Boston Globe, who was in the courtroom on Thursday when the mistrial was declared. Shira, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
The prosecution showed the jury several video clips of Roger Clemens testifying before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. What was on those video clips that violated Judge Walton's guidelines regarding admissibility?
A reference to testimony given by Andy Pettit's wife, Laura Pettit, that basically supported the version of events that Andy Pettit put forth about a conversation he allegedly had with Roger Clemens in which Roger Clemens admitted steroid usage.
And the judge had previously said you can't use that testimony from Mrs. Pettit.
Correct. The judge had previously ruled you can't use that testimony or reference that testimony because Laura Pettit did not speak directly to Roger Clemens.
Judge Walton said, I think a first-year law student should know that you can't bolster the credibility of one witness with clearly inadmissible evidence. Did it seem to you that the judge's intention was to humiliate the prosecutors? Because it sure sounded that way.
Yes. I mean, that was just one of many what I would call harsh scoldings by the judge as he went through his mistrial announcement and told the jury what had happened. He repeatedly chastised the prosecution for the way it behaved. The poor prosecutor, Steve Durham, kept saying, you know, we did not mean to run afoul of the court. This was not done in bad faith, but the judge just wouldn't hear it. He was as animated and as angry as I had heard him throughout the whole proceedings.
Describe the scene in the courtroom for us as the judge declared the mistrial.
Rusty Hardin, the lead defense attorney, makes the motion for mistrial. You can see that the judge really doesn't want to declare it, given all the time it took to seat the jury, 4 days to seat the jury. He says, you know, listen, I'm going to take a break and consult with a colleague. He comes back 45 minutes later, and you can see just by the look on his face, he sort of had this crestfallen look, and he was shaking his head when he got up to the bench, and I think we all kind of anticipated it. But still, it was pretty shocking. You know, everybody had been revved up for this trial, this 4 to 6 week trial. You know, this process had just gone on and on and on and been a very slow grind toward finally getting to the point where they were opening statements on Wednesday, and then, you know, testimony and witnesses was finally beginning to be revealed on Thursday. And it was sort of like, you know, deflating of a balloon. It was like a gasp and then a sigh, like, oh my gosh.
Once the judge had made the decision that this would end in a mistrial, what did Clemens do and how did he take it?
Clemens remained almost as expressionless as he has throughout the proceedings. The time that I saw him, he was unsmiling. He declined comment because there was a, or still is, a gag order. But it was quite interesting. He exited the courtroom, shook hands with some security guards, hugged some court officials, and then began to walk away from the courtroom, surrounded by a group of about 35 media members here. And this gaggle, for lack of a better word, walked, as I did, with him about two blocks to a nearby Au Bon Pain, surrounding him. And he was going into the restaurant for lunch, and we were shouting questions at him about how he felt, and he just sort of stared straight ahead. And, you know, occasionally Rusty Hardin would put his arm around him, but it was a very bizarre scene. We were sort of like this moving traffic jam of people surrounding Roger Clemens.
Some had questioned whether Clemens' attorneys were up to the task of defending him. At least they knew when to ask for a mistrial. Have Rusty Hardin at all acquitted themselves well?
before going into this, having not seen Rusty Harden in the courtroom, I had the same general perception that's out there that, like you said, maybe this guy wasn't quite up to the task. But watching him in action, he has this style that's very personable, very engaging, and in fact, very effective. It was in full evidence when he was selecting the jury. He's just this sort of Southern, nice to meet you, hail fellow, well met kind of guy, and it comes across very engaging, and he certainly had the attention and I think had engendered some warm feeling from the jury. Opening statement was a little bit rambling throughout the whole hour, but he made a few strong points, and he certainly had the more memorable opening statement.
Judge Walton called for a hearing on September 2nd to determine whether there will be a new trial. Why should it take a month and a half for the prosecution to decide whether to regroup and try again?
I think they're going to. I think it's more a legal question. I guess the wheels of justice turn slowly, or however the phrase goes, and there's motions to be filed and paperwork. So various legal steps have to be taken along the way. I also think it's a question of the court calendar. I mean, this, as I said before, has been just a slow grind all along. I mean, it's been 3 years, more than 3 years, since the government started preparing its case. And from what was said from the prosecution, they had prepared for about 45 witnesses. There were around 300 exhibits. I mean, this was a massive, massive effort by the government, and I think they're in too deep to give up now.
Roger Clemens has said from the start that he wants to clear his name. Do you think a decision not to proceed with another trial would leave Clemens feeling vindicated?
No, and that's sort of the irony of this all. The correct opinion, and the opinion that many people have voiced about this, is that this is a big win. This mistrial is a big win for Roger Clemens. And even though he would be facing possible prison time in another trial, I think there might be, as crazy as this sounds, a part of him that wants to have his day in court. And, you know, as Rusty Harden said in his opening, Roger Clemens has been waiting for an opportunity to tell his side of the story.
Shira Springer writes for the Boston Globe, and she was in the Washington, D.C. courtroom where the trial of Roger Clemens ended in a mistrial on Thursday. Shira, thanks very much for speaking with me.
You're very welcome.